rejoice in the Lord. Take your Bibles this morning. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul deals with many things in this church. He deals with some hard issues at times. He deals with a lot of the issues in the beginning of this book that we've being a carnal-minded individual means to be worldly-minded. Being a believer but not thinking a lot with wisdom. We've taken some time and looked at that. What the difference is between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. What that wisdom is and what it looked like. And many times in that church of Corinth, they were following what the world was doing instead of following what God wanted them to do in their lives. And that is so true in among lives of many believers today that we tend to want to follow the world's view, the world's way of doing things instead of the way God wants us to do it in our lives. And we see this unfold in many different ways. And one of the problems the carnal believer was causing in the church was division was taking place. And we've been looking at, leading up to this portion of Scripture, throughout this, he's dealt with this and he continued to deal with this. Some were lifting up certain apostles, certain leadership, and saying, I'm of this person, I'm of that person. And then he goes and talks about what a true servant of God is. He gave some illustrations to this. He gave the illustrations of the farmer. He gave the illustrations of the servant. He gave the illustrations of the under rower. He gave those illustrations and said, okay, this is what a servant ought to look like. This is what those in leadership ought to look like. This is what a minister of the gospel ought to look like. And he says, you as a steward of the gospel, the steward of the mysteries of God, you are required to be faithful in those areas and serve God the way you ought to serve God. Now as we come to verse 6, we pick up in verse 6. We'll read verse 6 through verse 13. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that he might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why doest thou glory, is that thou hast not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God he did reign that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as were appointed to death. For he made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even to this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are of the offscouring of all things unto this day. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we pray that you would just speak this morning in a mighty, powerful way. Lord, I pray that you would just give the strength that is needed this morning as we preach this message. Lord, we pray that we are here from heaven this morning. And Lord, I pray that your will be accomplished. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. There were ignorant people in the church of Corinth. There were people that became very ignorant of the truths of what they ought to be doing and what was important. And they even got to a place that they puffed themselves up or thought very highly of themselves. And because of the way they looked at themselves and thought of themselves, they would put down other individuals within the church, and they thought they had arrived in their lives. And Paul's going to address this issue. He's addressing this issue of pride that was taking place. He was addressing the issue of pride in the church of Corinth. As we've noticed before in other portions of Scripture, pride is something that many individuals struggle with. And sometimes it's looked at from many different angles, many different ways of pride. Pride is also a false humility at times. And that has happened many times in churches, and it causes issues within the church. Now, Paul is addressing this issue, and he says, as we look at this issue of pride this morning, Paul is going to give us some things about pride. He's going to first, in the first few verses, he's going to confront the pride that's given on. Then he's going to question the pride. Then he's going to give us the perception of the pride. Then he's going to give us the sarcasm in regards to pride. Now, I find the last part of this portion of Scripture very interesting, because you see a little different side of Paul as he addresses the church at Corinth, and he uses some sarcasm with them, and we're going to look at that this morning. So look with me in verse number 6 as we see him confronting pride. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that he might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. He was trying to get them to see the folly of what they were doing. Because remember, they were glorifying man. And Paul was telling the church of Corinth, you've got to stop glorifying man. And he says, I've given you some illustrations, but let me make this applicable to you. Let me make application to you. I'm going to use myself, and I'm going to use Apollos. And we go back to some of the illustrations that's given. Now, Paul and Apollos were friends. He wasn't putting Apollos down. He wasn't putting those things down. But he says, I want you to see that what we are, we're servants of God, and we're not to be lifted up. We're not to be glorified up. You're not to do those things. You have to understand what this pride is, and when you want to deal with this and you think you're greater than someone else, remember who we are, and remember we're servants of God. The things here he's referring to are the references to the farmers and to the stewards and to the illustrations that he gave. Paul's aim was that they would not puff themselves up and would not think they had arrived in their lives. Now, what did Paul say in the book of Philippians? He said, I have not attained. Paul said, I had not arrived. What does he deal with the church of Corinth? He was dealing with the church of Corinth, and many individuals thought they had arrived or thought they had some spiritual awakening in their lives and thought they were better than others, and they were lined up with this person and that person, and this group's better than this group, and that group's better than that group. How many remember when you used to get in little fights, my daddy's better than your daddy? You remember little kids would get that, my daddy's better than your daddy. And there was little things, my mama socked your mama in the nose and all that. You remember those little things? Some of you say, what are you talking about? Some of you are too young to remember those things. Brother Rich remembers those, right? And you had this, and you put someone else up over someone else. And as he's confronting pride, he's saying, remember what you're supposed to be. Remember the illustrations that I've given you. I'm transferring this. I'm applying this. I'm giving this to you so that you can see and you can know these truths and know these things. Why do we have examples in front of us what we're supposed to be doing many times in life, yet we still think we know better and we lift ourselves up in a prideful way and try to say we're greater than someone else. Now, I want to give some thoughts here this morning, because I believe Paul knew that he had to deal with this because of the pride that was going on in the church. Because, remember, let's give some background review. The church of Corinth was in the midst of a wicked city, but it was a city that was doing great things in the world's eyes. It was a major marketplace. It was a seaport. It had finances. It had things. Those in Corinth thought they were the epitome of a city. All right? That philosophy of the city of Corinth was now coming into the church, where those in the church thought they were something special. Do you know all of us in this room were nothing special? Do you know sometimes we think God needs us? Guess what? God doesn't need any of us. God doesn't need any of us. But we think we're some great, and God needs me, and I got such a talent and such an ability to be able to interpret Scripture and to be able to do those things. Wait a second. You're nothing. I'm nothing. Paul's going to address this. He's confronting the pride. He's giving this. In verse 7, as we see the pride confronted, now we see him question it. He goes from confronting it and saying, okay, you have to understand, you have to see, you're not to be puffed up. What does it mean to be puffed up? It means to be swelled up. All right, don't be swelled up with these things. As these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and apostles for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. Don't add to it. Don't go beyond what Scripture says. Don't go beyond. Yes, you got to honor the person in leadership. Yes, you got to honor those, but those people don't really matter. Those people aren't really important. They're there to help you, but they're not to become gods. You know what's happened in some churches today? You know what's happened in some churches in some areas today is people will be part of this group and that group. And this person's better than your person, and you went to this Bible college, and you're better than that Bible college, and you're this, you're that, and you start lifting up, you start putting all these things up, and Paul says, don't go beyond what is written. Don't try to think that this is something, this person is more important than God himself. Follow God. That's why Paul said other places, follow me as I follow God. And he says, that none of you, no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Don't allow the way you view someone and the group that you're part of to make you think you're something special. Let me give a simple illustration of this. I was talking to someone not too long ago, and they told me, they said, talked about what a great church they went to. And that was great. But they told me why the church was great. Because the pastor they had was a great pastor. Because the pastor that they had did this and did that and all this, and they lifted up. And the church is running 5,000-6,000 people, so it's a great church. And they have a great pastor. And then they would tell me, yeah, there's other churches in town, but they're not as good as our church. Wait a second. Why are we lifting up one over another based on something that God does the increase? That's what gets us in this. Look at verse 7. Here he questions it. For who maketh thee to differ from another? You're puffing yourselves up. You're causing division in the church. You're having those issues. You're having those problems. And all this is happening because you're lifting yourself up based upon man instead of following God and glorifying God. You're doing this. But who makes you different? Who makes you special, if you will? Who has given you the gifts? Who has given you the abilities? Who's given you those? He says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, what dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? He's saying, who gave it to you? First question is, all right, who maketh thee to differ? from another. What are you bragging about? What are you boasting about? Why are you allowing this cause division? Because what makes you different? What makes you different than anyone else? Have you ever looked at somebody and thought you were better than them? Because you started looking at how they were dressed. You say, preacher, we ain't never done that. Okay. How many ever been to an area like downtown Seattle? Or been to even downtown LA? Some of those areas. How many have even been to downtown Boise and you see some people dressed a little different? Looking a little more scruffy? Well, never mind, Jerry. Looking a little more scruffy. And those things. And what do you do? That person probably doesn't even have a job. That person probably lives in their car. That person lives in the tent out back somewhere. Now, any of you never thought that before? I think everyone in this room has thought something to that there. And what do? We think we're better. Oh, we're better than that individual. We're that individual. We see someone that's different from us and someone that's not. Well, but what makes you different? What makes you special? What makes you those ways? For who maketh thee to differ from another? Who has done this? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? If you have something, who gave it to you? Because you're not the glory in yourself. Now, I'm going to give a silly illustration. All right? Some of you think you're better than me because you can sing. But let me remind you this morning. If you are able to bellow a tune, who has given you that gift? Who has given it to you? Because guess what? You don't sing well because you can do it yourself. God has given you that gift, that ability, and that's why that glory belongs to the Lord. The glory belongs to God. Brother Jamie can make his fingers move on that instrument thingamajig and keep some breath going in that. I can't even play a kazoo, right? All right? But who's given you that gift? Who has given you those that ability? Who's given you those things? You see, as we look at this, he's confronting pride. He's questioning pride. He says, all right, why do you differ? Why do you have these things? Who's given you those things? And trying to get him to realize that they were saved by the same Lord, and the same Lord is the one that's given them the gifts that they have. They're nothing special, but they're sinners saved by the grace of God. And we get in our feuds and our fights and our fussings over things, and we're doing all the things that we're doing. And let us be reminded this morning, if you're saved this morning, it's the same God that saved you, it's the same God that saved me, and the same God that gave you power and the ability to do certain things is the same God that gives you the ability and power to do it as well. You're nothing special. I'm nothing special. He's confronting the pride. He's questioning the pride. He's getting them to realize God's given them everything that they have. But look at verse 8 and verse 9. He's given the perception of pride. Now ye are full. Now ye are rich. He have reigned as kings without us. And it went to God that ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, and we're appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. That word full there means to be filled, to be satisfied. They believed that they had spiritually arrived and were able to pass judgment upon someone else. That's Paul dealing with. He says, you think you've come to the place that you can judge someone else. Let me give an illustration. Well, I walk with God more than you walk with God. And I'm such a spiritual believer. What's your problem? Why don't you get right with God? I see your sin. I see your problem. I've come to this place where I have this ability to be able to point out all your faults. I mean, I could write a book about Rich and all his problems and all his things because I have spiritually arrived. The rest of you have to understand that I'm full. I'm satisfied. I am arrived to this place of the most spiritual one in this room. And the rest of you are peasants beneath me, and you cannot even come close to my awesome understanding and knowledge of the things of God. You say, well, that's crazy that someone would think that way. But isn't that how it happens? There's some type of groups out there, religious groups, that individuals have said, God has given me a different knowledge. And I have seen things in Scripture that no one else has seen before. Let me tell you, none of us have arrived. The Bible tells us we're to have a teachable spirit. We're to be teachable. We're to be able to listen and to learn and to grow and to mature. And he says the perception of pride is that they thought they have arrived, that they're above everyone else. They put everyone else down. You need my book that I've written. Because it gives you all the answers how to do everything you need to do. Have you ever met someone that had all the answers for every problem that you ever faced? Yet they didn't live it in their own lives. But they thought they have come to this place that they know it all. I've shared it before. Those that never had kids know how to raise kids, right? And then once they have kids, they decide, hey, I didn't know how to raise kids, all right? It's a learning experience. And each kid's different. And so if you only have one kid, you're cheating yourself from the experience. Because one kid is different from the other kid. And so what you thought worked for number one didn't work for number two. And what you think works for number two doesn't work for number three. And work for one and two don't work for three and four. And vice versa. And all the way around, it doesn't work. All right? We understand that. And none of us have arrived. And we get to this place, oh, I'm the expert in raising kids. Yeah, you're expert because your kids are no longer in the home and you don't have to deal with them anymore. Now you're expert again. But as you're there, it's a learning experience, but none of us have arrived to that point in our lives. He says, look at, this is interesting. As we're looking at the perception of pride, you're full, now you're rich. You have attained everything you need. You have all that you need. You're just so great there. As kings without us. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you've become very prideful. You come to this place here. I want you to comprehend this, but I want you to look at a true servant of the Lord. This is Paul's giving this illustration. He says, you think you're kings. You arrived without us. You didn't need us. You don't need our leadership. You think you've come to this place and all this happened and all that's going on here, but you don't need us. You arrived with kings. And then he goes on, and now he sees some of the sarcasm that comes about. It's interesting that there's sarcasm against pride in here. And I tell you, sometimes we are very sarcastic people, and so we understand what sarcasm means, right? Paul addresses this stuff. He's not saying this is truth. He's getting them to try. He's doing it in a way to give them a shock value for them to see themselves where they're at. He says, I would to God that ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. He says, oh, you guys are such great believers. I wish I could be with you. I wish I could reign with you. I wish I could just be a little bit underneath you and be alongside you because you are such a spiritual Christian. You're such a godly individual. Aren't you special? And he's trying to get them to see their folly. He's trying to get them to understand what they think of themselves. They think they're in this place of great spiritual maturity. For I think that God has set forth us as apostles last, and was appointed to death. We are made a spectacle unto the world. He says, you arrived up here, but let me tell you about us as an apostles. And that day, that word spectacle carries the idea of theater, the word theater there. And this is carrying the idea of what they did in that day is they would have their gladiator, they would have their fights and their different things that were taking place, and they would have a spectacle. But at the end, they would bring out the prisoners. They would bring out those that were on death row, if you will. And these are the individuals that they would make a spectacle of. These are the individuals that would fight against the animals and against other things, and they'd be destroyed. And they looked at, he says, you think yourself as a king, you think you're full, but we as apostles, we as disciples of Christ, are like those on death row, ready to be made a spectacle of. What a comparison that's given there. What a difference in attitude that's given there. Do you know a spiritual person never has to toot their own horn? A spiritual person should not have to walk around and say, guess how spiritual I am. Man, look at me. Did you know that I read my Bible for 3 hours yesterday? Do you know you're a sinner because you only read it for an hour and 45 minutes? I'm more spiritual than you. Do you know how many tracts I passed out yesterday? Oh, you know how many tracts I passed out this last year? Do you know how many things that I did last, then done this? Wow, how am I spiritual and you're not as good as me? Paul says this, as he's comparing them, as he's showing them, as he's using some sarcasm here, he says, you guys are full, you guys are as kings, I wish I could reign with you. He goes, but I can't compare because I'm like someone on death row. As an apostle, I'm someone that they're making a spectacle of. I'm not even close to where you're at in life. He had the right attitude of himself. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. Remember, they thought the gospel, those in Corinth, thought the gospel was foolishness. Remember? We looked at it in the very beginning. He says, we're fools for Christ's sake. We're simple. We're not lifted up. We're not prideful, but you're wise in Christ. Oh, you're so holy. You're such a great individual. He says, and we're just small individuals. He goes on and says, hey, we're weak, but you're strong. He says, ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we're despised. You're lifted up. People think great of you. Now, I want to say something here. When individuals lift you up and the worldly ones are lifting you up, you better be careful. Because my Bible says Jesus came unto his own and his own received him not. And we see today so-called Christians today being lifted up by the world and being embraced by the world. Let me give an illustration. There's a popular individual. If I mention his name, most of you in this room would know who he is. He's on television. He's written thousands of books. He's around all everywhere there. And he also was recently, the last 2 years, was on Oprah. And Oprah said, and we all know where Oprah stands on things, Oprah lifted this up as one of the greatest preachers of all day. Well, let me tell you, if Oprah lifts you up, you better be careful. You better be scared. You better look at yourself. And this is what is happening is those in that day were lifting up. We're lifting up these individuals. And Paul says, you're honorable in their sight. But a true apostle, a true follower of Christ is despised. Do you know what? This world is not for us. This world's against us. We have to understand this morning that as we go into this world and we live the life that God has called us to live, and we're to be set apart and we're to do those things, the world is not going to like what we're doing. They're going to call it foolishness. They're going to call it that you shouldn't be doing those things. I can't believe you would waste your money. I can't believe you would waste your time. I can't believe you would do those things. And Paul says, as apostle, as a follower of Christ, we're despised. But you're lifted up. Look a little further there. Verse 11, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. He says, Paulus and I have nothing. We were hungry. We're just walking around. We're buffeted. We have no dwelling place. We have no place to even stay as our own. He even says, we work with our hands. We're doing all we can, but we have nothing. We have none of this. And you have the palaces. You have all the riches. You have all these things. He says, we've done these things. We've lifted it up and we've done this. And have no certain dwelling place in labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. We have the filth, we have the garbage, we have the offscouring, we have all this that's happening to us. And he says, we being defamed, we entreat, we're made as the filth of this world and the offscouring of all things unto this day. We are considered the outcast to this world, but you have been lifted up. And you think you're better. He's using sarcasm to get him to see a truth here. Do you know you and I have nothing apart from what God has given us? And as we serve God, we're not to have a prideful spirit. We're to have a humble spirit in our lives. Too many believers think we're better than this world. Just ask some people in this world. They say what about Christians? Oh, they think better of themselves than us. Do you know I'm not better than anyone in this world? I'm a sinner just like they are. And I believe Paul was trying to get this church at Corinth to realize who they actually were. And who they actually were sinners saved by the grace of God. They weren't anything special. And we have to understand this morning, we need not to lift ourselves up. We're not to lift ourselves up. We're not to think ourselves to be something we're not. We're to realize our purpose, our calling is to live for God and be servants of the Most High. And if you're able to serve, it's because God has given you all you need to serve. It's not in yourself. Their attitude and their actions gave a wrong view of who their God was. Do you know in many believers' lives, our attitude and actions give a wrong view of who our God is? Because people don't see a humble servant. They see a prideful individual that casts judgment upon them for their sin. I want to end with the illustration of our Savior himself. Because when Jesus came into this world, what do we see about Jesus? Did Jesus walk around lifting himself up, saying how great he was? Now, he could have, because who is Jesus? Jesus is God. He was the God incarnate. He left the glories of heaven and came to this earth. And he came as God. He was still God. He did not lose his deity. But as he walked around, Jesus came for a purpose, to seek and to save them which were lost. But as he was on this earth, he was a humble servant doing the will of his Father that sent him. And Jesus did not puff himself up. Jesus was there helping the sick, helping the weak. He was showing them the way to the truth of Jesus Christ, to God Almighty. He was showing them, he was leading them there. He didn't lift himself up thinking he was better than them. That's why the Bible says he ate with sinners. He walked with sinners. He came alongside them and he helped them. He said, others, cast the first stone. He said to others, you know what? You want to judge these individuals. You want to go against these individuals. I want you to understand, Zacchaeus, come down because I'm going to your house. Yes, I know you're a sinner, but I'm here for you. Many times in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we see how he came and how he served, and he was humble. He was not prideful. He could have been because he was God, but he wasn't. You and I walk around this earth thinking we're something special. No. You know what made Paul great? Paul realized he was nothing without Christ. And Paul served God, and people were saved as a result of Paul's life and Paul pointing people, and there was much changes that took place because Apostle Paul's life is because Paul thought he was nothing. He was just a servant, and he wanted the church of Corinth to get that. I believe any person in any leadership role, a pastor's role, any of that role, a Sunday school teacher's role, a deacon's role, or any role, ought to be a servant before they're anything else. Because that's an example we see from our Savior. I was at a preacher's fellowship about 10 years ago. And again, if I would name this preacher, most of you in this room would know this preacher. He spoke at this conference, and we were at the Jay Garden afterwards for food. And this preacher was sitting at this table, and I was sitting next to him in the same area there. And he was eating, and he needed a napkin. He had an assistant there with him. And he looked at the assistant, and he did this. And the assistant went and grabbed the napkin and brought a napkin over to him. Now, most of you know I'm a very quiet individual, and my personality doesn't usually come through in certain things like that. But I could not refuse to say something. And so I said something in regards to that, because that just, my thought is this: who do you think you are? Get up by yourself and get a napkin. Why do we think we're so great? You say, preacher, I don't think I'm so great. I think a lot of times we think we're so great that we're not willing to serve the way we ought to be serving. Because that's why there's division in the church. That's why there's division in churches. Because I'm better than you, and my way's better than your way, and what I think is this, and what I think is that, and it causes strife and contention and division in the church. Realize, you're a sinner, saved by the grace of God for the purpose of serving God. Stop getting on your high horses. Stop thinking you're greater and better and your way's better and greater. And let's work together. Let's come together. Let's have unity and serve God together. That's what Paul was saying to that church. And based on that, that's what we're saying this morning. Stop thinking highly of ourselves. Let's come together, realize who we are, what we are, and let's work together for the cause of Christ. Heavenly Father,